Welcome to Monday's show. We are starting Fantasy Week 5 already. Hope you're 4-0 or 3-1. Adam Azer here with Body Wash User Heath Cummings and Barb Soapman, Scott White. What's going on? Good morning, fellas.
It's a wonderful day. My skin is very very soft and moisturized.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Everything's great.
Good stuff. Morning shower?
My skin's fine, too. I just want to throw that in there.
You guys, morning or evening showers?
Morning.
It depends on if I have a podcast the next day.
How does that factor in, Scott? I'd love to know.
Because I have to hustle in here to podcast in the morning, so I don't want to waste time showering. So I showered last night.
Okay, good. I'm glad you didn't just completely skip it.
No.
Which is where I thought you were going with that. Okay, we'll look at the most added players, talk about Brandon Drury and Brett Laurie and guys like that. I'll tell you about SeatGeek in a little bit, check in on the prospects, you know, all that fun stuff. What is your best record right now? Your best league or your whatever, whether it's Roto, head-to-head, what's going on? What's your best team?
I think my best team is a head-to-head categories league where I'm like 25-14.
Is that the...
No, it's a different one.
Not the For the People podcast.
The For the People podcast, I believe I'm closer to like 20-16.
Mm.
I think you're in last place in that league.
It wouldn't surprise me. I deserve to be because it's a 16-team league and I've yet to start Michael Conforto. So that's deserves everything that comes to me if you do that.
I've had
a boneheaded decision.
Just a terrible last 2 weeks. And this past week, I think I took 3 defeats that were larger than any defeat I've taken in a couple of years. I mean, I was losing games like 380 to 160 in points leagues. It was atrocious. I've got this, like, should I drop Tyson Ross?
I mean, you're biggest fan, you tell me.
Well, I have so many players on the disabled list in almost every league, and I don't have enough disabled list spots in any of my leagues.
Well,
it's terrible.
Okay, so is he your worst injured player?
I don't know.
I find that hard to believe.
I got Raisel Iglesias, Travis d'Arnaud.
I think I'd drop either of them over Ross, and I'm not even as high on Ross as you are.
Yeah, I've not dropped anybody yet. I'm trying to get through this thin period, and when everybody comes back healthy, I'll be in really good shape.
Well, the good thing is when you get your butt kicked in a head-to-head points league, you're only 0-1 that week. When you get your butt kicked in a head-to-head categories league, you feel that for a while. I play in a 7x7 head-to-head categories league, and I won 13-1 this past week.
That's a good week.
And that's gonna help me out for weeks. That's gonna keep me relevant. I mean, it's a good team, but, that's big. Scott, you're the Roto King. You're killing both of our Roto leagues, but I do want to mention the trade you made in our original podcast league, a classic Scott White trade, usually it's a 2-for-1. This was a 3-for-1 trade, which you got Paul Goldschmidt.
I'm assuming Scott got the one.
Yeah, Scott got Paul Goldschmidt.
Of course.
It was a good juggle. It was not an uneven trade by any means.
No, it was a tough call. It was a tough call.
I haven't seen the trade yet.
I had to, the trade, before we continue to talk about it, I acquired Paul Goldschmidt.
You won the trade.
Well, hang on a second. I acquired Paul Goldschmidt for Eric Hosmer.
Okay.
Nomar Mazara.
Okay.
And Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, that, I mean, it would take a lot for me to say that somebody got Paul Goldschmidt and didn't win the trade.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a 3-for-1 deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you've definitely made your pitching worse.
Oh, yeah. And I have Carrasco on the DL. So,
right.
My number 1 and 2 are gone. But now I have Paul Goldschmidt along with Bryce Harper. So that feels good.
Oh, wow.
I got to tell you, when I saw the trade, my initial reaction was, I don't want to take this because you get in your head. You know, I've been making offers pretty regularly in this league, and there's a certain objective I wanted to accomplish. And sometimes, you know, when you're not just cruising and waiting for offers to come your way, you get so fixed on that objective that anything that departs from that, you're reluctant to do it. And, you know, I had no interest in giving up Noah Syndergaard. He's maybe the second best pitcher in baseball, but I tried to put it into perspective. Okay, if an email came in with this trade, what would I tell the person to do? And I would say absolutely take the trade for Goldschmidt. If we were redrafting today, you'd probably still take him.
And you're
at least a round ahead of Syndergaard, maybe two.
You're struggling in that league a little bit, aren't you?
I am. Yes, I think I'm doing pretty well in points, but I'm 1-3.
You are. No, I think you have the second most points in that league, but you're 1-3. So yeah. Things will even out for you, certainly. This will be an interesting trade. We'll see how it works out. There's a lot of great Paul Goldschmidt production left. And the other thing is, and I'll just wrap it up on this, this is a league with a lot of good players on waivers. So Scott's going to take those two empty roster spots. He's going to pick up Ryan Madsen, who he's been trying to get for weeks.
Because you just dropped him?
Yeah, I did. And he's going to pick...
Why were you driving such a hard bargain if you were just going to drop him anyway?
Because I knew I wanted to get something for him. Look, the last offer I made you was Eichhoff and Madsen for Hamill. It was a very, very fair trade offer. So
that was Jason Hamill, by the way, not Cole Hamels.
Yeah, Jason Hamill.
No, it was a fine offer. But
yeah. Now I have a question about that league and your commission. Because most of the leagues I'm in, more than half, you're the commissioner.
I am. I'm only the commissioner in two leagues.
Yeah, that can't be.
Really?
That's not possible.
You're not the commissioner in the editorial league?
Yeah, I am. That in the podcast league.
Okay, so just two. The editorial league, we have free agency on Mondays, right?
Yeah, we have. I take waivers off. Yeah.
But we don't do that in this league.
Look, here's the thing about the editorial league. This is like the fifth year of that league. I'm taking over. I'm trying to keep the traditions. That is all. All right, it's a weird league, and
but there's just to make sure there's no free agency in the podcast listeners league unless you email and say somebody just went on the DL.
No,
can I please add somebody?
Absolutely, you let them. That never happened.
I thought it happened week one, but
you know what? Wow, Heath, you are really Heath Cummings today. I mean,
thank you.
Like we talk about the podcast reject. First of all, you have already called out Scott for struggling in two leagues. One of them, both the podcast leagues. You haven't even mentioned I'm in first place in both of those leagues. So you could have easily mentioned that. Instead, you decided to mention who's struggling. So a demerit for Heath Cummings. Let's get to the show. Let's talk about the most added and most dropped players here. And I will pull up the roster trends, but I added Brandon Drury in three leagues on Saturday night. Then he homered again on Sunday. He's about 26% owned, although that might be up now this week, after yesterday. Let's see. He is 37% owned now. And Drury, I hate that name, is the sixth most added player. And I just worry I'm going to throw in my lineup and I'm going to miss all the production. And I don't know that it's going to be there again. Scott, tell me if we should be starting Arizona third baseman Brandon Drury right now.
I think in a roto league with all those hitter spots to fill and his poor plate discipline doesn't really bother you as much, I think, sure, start him, ride the hot hand. And it may not just be a hot hand. He had great numbers in the minors 2 years ago, was awesome each of the last two springs, and got sent down last spring and struggled at first, but was able to right the ship toward the end of the season. There may have been some disappointment that he didn't make the major league roster then. So what I'm saying is a track record of good production. So the fact between that and the fact that the Diamondbacks are at least considering the possibility of making him their everyday left fielder and moving David Peralta to center, as much as that would hurt their defense, I think those are both good signs.
Okay.
Some legitimacy.
Here's the most added list. Steven Wright is number one. AJ Griffin is number two. I know Griffin's a two-star pitcher. I'm not 100% sure about Wright, but I would hope he is. Sean Manaea is number three. He's 64% owned. And Wright, Griffin, and Manaea are owned in about the same range. Joe Smith is number four. He's now closing temporarily for the Angels. Jose Berríos is number five. Brandon Drury is six. Michael Fulmer, who is not guaranteed to make a start this week, is number seven at 35%. And we'll cut it off there. So a lot of pitchers. In fact, yeah, Drury is the only hitter in the top seven in the most added list. Is there anything that really jumps out at you guys?
AJ Griffin was a guy that I looked at for a long time this weekend. Because, I mean, I look at the way he's done, what he's done so far, and I don't really buy it.
Mm-mm.
I don't think there. I mean, one of the reasons he performs so well is because he's 3-0. But he's got 17 strikeouts in 25 innings. He's a pitch to contact pitcher, and yeah, he's got two starts this week, but one of them's at the Rogers Center.
And it scares me.
I think there's a much better chance that AJ Griffin kills you this week then really helps you. But I was talking to Al about this before the podcast. It's a really crappy week for two-start pitchers.
Well, you don't have to start two-start guys. I mean,
you don't, yeah. But I'm in a situation in several leagues where I need to. So I actually had the choice between AJ Griffin and John Gray in a couple leagues, and I picked up John Gray. And I think he's a little bit sneakier because a lot of people either sort by projected rest of season performance or performance so far this season, and he's not very high on either one for good reason. But this week he gets two starts. Neither one of them are at Coors Field, and one of them's against the Padres.
Yeah, that's 14. That's a guaranteed 14 strikeout game right there at the Padres. That's,
because Clayton Kershaw does it, so everybody can do it.
Well, Vince Velasquez did it too.
So. Okay. You know, he only made four starts on the road last year, so it's too small of a sample size. But he was really pretty decent in those four starts. Struck out 11 batters per nine, had a 2.7 ERA.
Okay.
I think he'll be better than Griffin this week.
Yeah.
So 11 strikeouts then in a complete game. Now that he and AJ Griffin pitched tonight, so we'll see there. Scott, you can go off the most added list, on the most added list, whatever. Tell me who fantasy owners need to be picking up right now.
Well, on the two start pitcher angle, one I was targeting, and Heath may have been beaten to the punch on it, was Chris Tillman.
Yeah.
Who I was excited by the uptick in velocity in his last start, along with the increased strikeout rate. And also the fact that he's throwing harder and he's incorporating his off speed pitches more. So I could see that being a formula for fooling batters more consistently. I'm a little surprised looking at the most added list here that Shum Manaya's owned in 64% of leagues, while AJ Griffin is 55, Stephen Wright is 63. I mean, Manaya's debut wasn't very good statistically, but it seemed like the stuff looked good. The Athletics were very excited about what they saw. It still seems like he is going to stick in that rotation for the long haul, and the upside compared to those two, Wright and Griffin, is not even close.
Yeah, well, that's people playing for a two-start pitcher instead of a one-start pitcher, but...
Well, so, I'm saying it's not worth it. That's where you just start one of your one-start pitchers instead, and yeah, do that instead.
All right, we also have Wellington Castillo, Odubel Herrera, Aledmys Diaz. Those guys are pretty owned. Bartolo Colon's a two-star pitcher. It's a pretty boring most added list. I don't know if there's anybody that really excited you. Drury was the big guy for me. I don't really know who else.
The big one. And he's still only 37% owned, so.
I watched a lot of prospects this weekend. I watched Michael Fulmer. I watched a little bit of Shawn Manaea, but Fulmer was, and I watched Berríos, obviously, the night before. Fulmer was impressive, but then he ran into a little bit of trouble. The broadcasters were talking about it. He's really a two-pitch pitcher. He reminds me a lot of Juan Nicasio. He throws really hard. He's got a very good slider, but it's mostly just fastball slider. I think Nicasio's been mixing in more pitches lately. But Fulmer, again, not guaranteed to make a start. 30-ish percent owned. What do you think about him right now? Is he worth owning?
I kind of argue the being the two-pitch pitcher because he has a two-seamer and a four-seamer and a slider.
Okay.
And got a lot of movement on that two-seamer, so it's a good pitch for him. I was impressed, too. I only watched the first two innings, and that's where he had, I think, three of his strikeouts.
But those were whoa innings, weren't they? It was like, whoa, this dude could be really good.
Yeah. I was getting all excited about it on Twitter. But those were three of his four strikeouts in five innings. So it seems like things leveled off from there. I think whether or not I pick him up is going to depend on whether I hear that he's going to make another start, because that's not decided at this point.
In other words, he's not worth stashing.
Right, which is what we were saying in the first place before this start. And then I started to rethink that as I watched those two innings. But I think we're still at that same point with him.
Heath, let me get your take on another guy. Tyler Duffy, he is 6% owned. And I thought he had a pretty darn good start against the Tigers. He gave up three runs in the first inning and then pitched very well after that. Seven
only one earned run total.
Right. One earned, no walk, seven strikeouts for Duffy. 6% owned. A lot of the guys we talk about are owned in you know, people play in deeper leagues and these guys are worthless. But Duffy, 6%. I know there are some injuries. Guys will come off the DL. Santana's making his way back. But is Duffy worth an ad?
Here's the thing that really frustrates me. If this was any other team, I think I would just assume, I mean, Duffy's one of their best pitchers. They have guys coming back off the DL, sure, but they have a bunch of crappy pitchers, except for maybe Jose Berríos, who we think is going to be really good. Duffy was really good in 10 starts last year. I don't know that he has huge upside, but I'd rather have him than Fulmer.
You would?
Yes.
But we don't know his, well, we don't know for a fact that Duffy's staying in the rotation, right?
Just like Fulmer.
Right.
I think he's a better bet too, because the competition is less.
Right.
And there's still players on the DL.
Yeah. Okay.
If he keeps doing this, he's going to stick, period. He almost won the job outright this spring. Tommy Malone, basically.
They've just got a bunch of really crappy pitchers.
They do. All right, I'm going to throw one more name at you, and then we'll move on, and we got a lot to talk about today. But yep. How about Brett Laurie? Brett Laurie has homered in three straight games. He is 53% owned. He's batting .290 with .377 on base and a .505 slugging. A lot of this is the last three games, but now he's got four home runs, 12 walks, 29 strikeouts. Before that, though, well, I mean, the batting average has been pretty solid, I think, for Laurie. I'll say that. The power is recent. But anybody excited about Laurie? Again, he's 53% owned.
Everything is turning up roses for the Chicago White Sox right now.
but not their hitting. Not their hitting. They haven't hit that well. Their defense is good, and their pitching has been really good.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily buying into Laurie. I mean, I think he could be a 250, 260 hitter and hit 10 to 15 home runs.
I think the one underlying change, maybe, is the fact that he's on a 75 walk pace now. But I just think there's too much recency to this and too much of a track record to the contrary for me to buy into him based on what we're seeing the last few days.
So Brandon Drury and Brett Laurie are available in your league. Which one are you taking?
Drury.
I agree.
Okay. Derek Dietrich and Brett Laurie are available in your leagues. Which one are you taking?
Probably Laurie, but I think at 15%, Derek Dietrich isn't getting his due.
Right.
Because he's batting, he has like a 950 OPS so far.
Yeah.
He's always shown good power as a part-timer, and he's eligible at third, will be at second very soon, and the outfield. So he was the player who was probably number one on my waiver priority in our rotisserie leagues, our 360 men rostered rotisserie leagues, was Derek Dietrich.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it depends a lot. We'll know a lot more about Dietrich after this week, because I think they faced two lefties that aren't exactly overpowering lefties, and I want to see if he starts either game.
Okay.
If he sits both games, then I'd much rather have Laurie. If he's going to play against lefties too, then I think I'd rather have Dietrich.
If you have some tickets you need to sell, or you want to go to a game or a concert and you want to save $20, well, let's find out about SeatGeek. SeatGeek.com is what you need, or, of course, the free SeatGeek app. What an awesome app. I am talking about the absolute best place to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. SeatGeek is amazing. I've been telling my friends about it. It's the only place now, the only place I go to look for tickets. So here's why. SeatGeek pulls all the tickets available on other sites into one place. How easy is that? You're never going to miss a deal. They also rank the tickets based on value, or you can sort by price. There's a lot of really cool things you can do on SeatGeek. And if you want to know what your view is going to look like, SeatGeek has a detailed map. So you click on a seat, you see what your view is going to be, and then you buy the ticket. And this might be the best part, because I know you hate hidden fees. So annoying. The price you see is the price you pay. Unlike StubHub, SeatGeek is always honest about the price. You're going to see the full ticket price from start to finish. Now, we can save you $20. Here's how. Download the free SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FANTASY. All caps, FANTASY. FANTASY. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Now, if you forget the promo code, I've had a lot of people do this, you can tweet me at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. And I will be happy to help you out with that. But that's SeatGeek.com or the SeatGeek app. You will love it. We haven't talked about Aaron Blair. He's 24% owned. I keep playing like hot potato with Aaron Blair. Dropping him, picking him up, all in the same league. Nobody seems to want him. 24%.
Oh, it's going to take me a while to want him. If he keeps striking out four batters per nine or whatever it is.
Yeah. So here's the thing, Scott. This is, you know, this maybe is very specific, but for me, it's a league where I have guys that are striking people out. Okay. I think I have Velasquez. I have Salazar. I think Matt Harvey will get back to his strikeout ways. So if you have enough strikeouts, could Blair help enough with ERA and WHIP?
I don't think he will ultimately if he's not getting strikeouts. I mean, that's the thing about strikeouts. It's not just the fact that they're worth something in and of themselves. It speaks to the effectiveness of the pitcher. It speaks to how reliant or unreliant he is on luck. And I think there's a case to be made that Blair's been kind of lucky so far.
Okay. Yes, very. He could maybe help you out in those categories. It's very unlikely. And you know at this point, or it seems very unlikely that he's going to give you any strikeouts. Mm-hmm. And what's his win potential?
He was an okay strikeout pitcher in the minors. So I'm not saying he's never going to strike anybody out. I mean, he had 10 strikeouts in his last minor league start.
Yes, but last year over a full season split between AA and AAA, he struck out 6.7 per nine.
Okay. He was better than that before that year.
Yes, and he was.
Look, 6.7, I think he could be usable in a mixed league if that's what he ends up being. But right now, there's been nothing.
Okay.
There's been nothing to get excited about.
Especially if you're a Reds fan. Let's go to the big news. Before the Reds stuff, Zach Britton day-to-day with an ankle injury. Are you starting Zach Britton if you have to make a weekly decision?
Deep league.
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
If I've got like Tanner Roark or Brandon Finnegan, then I'd rather start them.
Okay. Finnegan pitching tonight. All right, so here's what's going on with the Reds, man. They can't catch a break. Raisel Iglesias is on the DL with a shoulder injury. Tim Adelman, anyone know?
Yeah.
Which one? Sure.
Yes.
Yes. Tim Adelman pitched well in his place. Anybody care about this 28-year-old, I think, who made his major league debut?
Not particularly.
Anthony DeSclafani had a setback in his rehab. Homer Bailey, a slight setback in his rehab. And Devin Mesoraco has missed three straight games with shoulder stiffness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been a bad year for the Reds. They are cold. A decision on Jose Reyes expected this week, according to the Denver Post. I am so close to dropping him.
I actually did drop him in a league or two. I may still be holding him in one. The thing is, I think because when I dropped him, the most recent news item that anybody had on Jose Reyes was from like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it was a decision on Jose Reyes is expected this week.
Yeah. We're week to week hearing it's going to be this week.
Yeah.
So, and are you still totally hung up on this Trevor Story's getting sent back down to the minors business? Because I think he's come back around again.
Yeah. This will be an interesting week for him. He plays 7 games in San Diego and San Francisco.
Yeah, it will be. I haven't seen his home road splits.
I think he's because he's played like almost all of his road games in Arizona. His road splits are probably okay.
Yeah. Okay.
He's hitting .247 with a .308 on base and a .600 slug. If he keeps that up, he may be the Chris Davis of shortstops.
That's his overall numbers or his road numbers?
That's his overall numbers.
Joe Panik has missed 2 straight games with a groin injury. Panik unlikely to play today. So, you know, that's a tough call if you're going to start or sit Panik.
Kelby. It's funny. Story's road splits. His slugging's actually better on the road. He's got a .235 batting average, .278 on base, and .686 slug.
Kelby Tomlinson has replaced Panik, and Tomlinson, I think, is 2,100 in FanDuel. If you need a cheap replacement, he's facing Brandon Finnegan. Not a very good player, though. Andrew McCutchen has a cranky knee. That was the word I read in the recap. He has a cranky knee. You know, does that make you hesitant to throw out a buy low offer on Andrew McCutchen?
No.
Okay.
No.
Albert Pujols, as my phone calls Albert Pujols, will play some first base at Milwaukee. So if you were worried about him in an NL park, Pujols is going to play a little first base. Maybe not every game. I think they have a 3-game set, so maybe 2 out of 3. Oh, that might be a 2-2. I'll check. Texas apparently might use a 6-man rotation when Yu Darvish, who had an amazing, who had a very encouraging rehab appearance over the weekend, according to the Dallas Morning News, they may use a 6-man rotation when Yu Darvish comes back. Do you believe that?
I think they may the first couple of times through. I think they have enough pitchers that are just borderline that one of them will have a 2 or 3 bad start stretch, and then it'll be a 5-man rotation again.
We got Detroit catcher James McCann expected to return Tuesday. Starter sit Jared Saltalamacchia. What do you think happens?
I'd probably sit him, unless it's two catcher league. Then, I mean, what are your alternatives, really?
Trevor Plouffe expected to return Tuesday. Manny Machado, one appearance away from shortstop eligibility.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make him
shortstop eligibility.
Does that make him a top five player?
Yes.
Really close.
I was lamenting the other day, why didn't I see this coming and rank him even higher than I had him? Which I think I was the highest on him at 7th or 8th overall. But yeah, he would have probably been my fourth best ahead of Kershaw if I was anticipating shortstop eligibility. And played it a lot down the stretch last season, so I don't know why I dismissed that possibility.
No, I think, you know, it was hard to tell when it was going to happen.
Yeah,
but also, Machado, I'm just confirming now, has 0 steals this year. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. I want to look at some kind of quirky stats so far. I know Machado is one of a couple of players that I have my eye on that have 0 steals. Zach Cozart left Sunday's game with a knee injury. Hope that's not serious. That would be a repeat. And Angel Pagan day-to-day with a hamstring strain. Tell me if you're ready to sit any of the following players. I included their matchups, except for their Sunday pitcher. Apologize, did this yesterday. Their next 7 games. Tell me if you're ready to sit any of these players. Joey Votto, Troy Tulowitzki, Prince Fielder, Lorenzo Cain, Jason Hayward.
I can't imagine sitting Votto or Tulowitzki. Tulowitzki mostly because it's shortstop and it's not like my bench is overrun with shortstops. I'm anxious to start.
Right.
Fielder, though, I'm not concerned about Fielder long term, but being confined to that utility spot is there are a lot of just generic hitters on my bench that I'm anxious to get in my lineup. So I am finally sitting him in a couple leagues this week.
See, I'm worried about Fielder, but I think when it's a week where he's got 7 road games and four of them are in the Rogers Center, and then another one is against Mike Pelfrey, and another one's against a Detroit starting pitcher that's yet to be named, I don't think I have the guts to sit him in that type of situation. This is, if he's going to get healthy, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, okay. It just depends who you have. Like one league, I have both him and Ortiz, and I haven't been starting Ortiz, and it's made me sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
I mean,
yeah.
Outfield is so deep, though. So what about the next two? What about Lorenzo Cain and Jason Hayward? I mean, if you have
in
Michael Conforto,
three outfielder league, I could absolutely see sitting Cain.
What's up with Cain? He has not only is he just the batting average is low, which whatever, you know, that happens in April. 2 extra base hits all season. What the heck?
He doesn't look good, Scott. It's I don't think he's going to be bad this year.
He was such a late bloomer. Has he already aged out? Did he go from breakout to regression?
I don't really think so. And I don't know if it's still the case. Adam talked about this last week on the podcast and made a really good point. And he now has 16 plate appearances this year against left-handed pitching. Which he was good against righties last year, but he was all world against lefties. And when I looked at it on Friday after Adam brought up the point, Cain had I think there were 10 players in all of baseball that had less plate appearances against lefties and only 15 or 20 with more plate appearances against righties. That'll kind of turn around a little bit for him too.
Yeah, Kansas City still toward the bottom, 164 at bats against lefties. Boston has faced the fewest lefties, the Marlins second fewest lefties. By the way, name the American League starting third baseman who still does not have an extra base hit. 1 month into the season, no extra base hits.
Man, seems like we should know this.
Chase Headley?
Yeah, Chase Headley, very good.
You always guess the Yankee if you're not sure.
Always guess the Yankee. All right, AL only owners, Ronald Torres should take over for Chase Headley. Keep that in mind. It'll be pretty bad on your AL only team. Are you ready to drop any of the following players? Michael Pineda, Shelby Miller, Matt Latos.
I already dropped Matt Latos as soon as he didn't have 2 starts anymore.
I would have never even picked him up for that. That was some much anticipated regression this week in the 11 hit in 5 innings against the Orioles. I finally got around to dropping Michael Pineda in a couple of my shallow leagues. Yeah.
I don't think I dropped Pineda quite yet. And I might give Shelby Miller one last start because he faces the Braves this week, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Michael Pineda, okay, the strikeout rate is fine, but he's giving up a lot of home runs. Obviously, the ERA is terrible. Not pitching deep into games.
Let me say something about the home runs. He gave up four in one start, so that's kind of skewed things a little.
Still, not startable based on the way he's pitching right now. Somebody drops Blake Snell because they get impatient waiting for him to come back. Do you drop Pineda for Snell?
Probably.
That's the decision I was faced with.
I don't want to try to make the argument that Michael Pineda's been good, but if it was any other pitcher, I would make this argument, so I'll make the argument for Pineda as well. He's given up a 359 BABIP so far this year. Last year, I believe James Shields led the majors in home run to fly ball rate, which is something else we don't think is completely repeatable. And he led it at 17% of his fly balls turned into home runs. So far this year, 22% of Pineda's home runs have turned into fly balls.
Home runs, yeah.
You know, that's fine. But at the same time, you have limited roster space. And you have this unusable player on your bench who had an ERA over 4 last year.
Yeah.
I think if you drop him, I don't think there's going to be a line to pick him up. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I don't think there is. And I just think there's better uses of that roster spot right now.
Do you like Miller more than Pineda then?
No.
Okay.
No, I dropped Shelby Miller. Yeah, I guess we hadn't mentioned him and he was part of that list. But we were talking about him as a drop last week. And I'm not saying he can't redeem himself in fantasy either. He's been so bad that I have to feel like there's something out of whack health-wise or mechanics-wise. And if that gets fixed, then maybe he can become usable again. But there's no reason to wait him out.
Yeah,
limited roster space.
Scott is making the case to drop Shelby Miller, and he's been doing that, but he also picked him up. So I think with Pineda and Miller, depending on the roster size, depending on the size of your league, you can make a case to either add or drop either Michael Pineda or Shelby Miller.
I would just say if I had the choice in the matter, I'd rather pick up Pineda because he at least has one good thing going for him. He's striking hitters out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, Miller's got nothing going on right
now. That's fair. If somebody, I picked up Miller in a 360 player rostered league. I dropped Pineda in a 252 player rostered league, if that puts it in perspective.
Right. Okay. Let's go to some hitters here, and we'll spend most of the rest of the show on pitchers. Also, email us. Sorry, I didn't give out the email address. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. I got three hitters who are owned somewhat of a wide range, but 45% to 66% of leagues. Jackie Bradley Jr. is an 8-game hitting streak. Nick Castellanos, 2 home runs in his last 3 games. I mean, Nick Castellanos is hitting .361 with a .371 on base because he has 3 walks to 23 strikeouts and a .590 slugging percentage. 4 home runs, 18 RBI in 23 games for Castellanos. And then there's Chris Carter, who hit 2 home runs and doubled on Sunday. It was big output for the Brewers against Tom Kohler. Carter, .278 with 7 home runs. Very high batting average for him. Bradley, Castellanos, Chris Carter. How would you rank those three?
I would put Bradley below the other two.
For sure.
And I think the Carter-Castellanos really kind of comes down to how your team's constructed. If I had let's say I have Manny Machado at third base and there's just no chance I'm going to need a third baseman, then I think I'd rather have Carter.
If I needed home runs, I'd get Carter because there's a good chance he delivers a lot of those. But we've seen enough from Chris Carter to know that his production to this point is
whose batting average is
a hot streak.
Whose batting average do you think will fall farther though? Like Castellanos.
Well, here's the thing about Castellanos. Like I'm reluctant to put my faith in him because his plate discipline is so bad. It's always been bad. 1 month of him hitting .360, whatever. I'm not really that motivated to add him. But there was a time when I said the same thing about Adam Jones.
Right.
And eventually, I mean, the plate discipline never improved, and yet his production did. And he's been an elite level player or close to it for the last 5 years or so. So I think Castellanos has enough of a this is your favorite word, I know, but pedigree. He was big time prospect.
Yep.
That there's a chance he could have a similar type breakthrough. I'm not going there after a month.
Right.
But I think it's possible.
Here's my caution on Castellanos. And I know we should have done this on Tuesday because Chris loves Nick Castellanos. But his strikeout rate over the last 3 years, 24%, 25%, and it's 25% right now. He's hit 250 the last 2 years with a 320 BABIP. So, I mean, maybe he's a high BABIP guy. He's got a 441 BABIP right now.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to hit 361.
He's probably going to hit closer to 261 than 361.
It depends on how much the power production improves, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think Chris Carter's batting average will end up much closer to what it is right now than Castellanos will.
I don't know. I mean,
like if he hits 230, then Castellanos has to hit 315.
All right, we're splitting
hairs. If you're going to be technical, but I think Castellanos has a much better chance of helping in batting average than Chris Carter does.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
It's just Carter might not kill you either. He could hit 250.
I think that's pretty unlikely, but okay.
Two more hitters I want to mention. Michael Saunders, 34% owned. Does that seem low to you, Michael Saunders?
No. I mean, I know he had that two-homer game Friday, but I was interested last year in him leaving Seattle for the first time and maybe seeing if he could come closer to his minor league track record out of that environment. And so far, he's been productive. I don't know. I'd probably own him over somebody like Kevin Kiermaier or Leonis Martin in a rotisserie league, a five outfielder league, but I think those guys' ownership percentages are pretty low too.
And how about Nolan Reimold, 1% owned? Any interest in him?
Not particularly.
Nope. Okay. I feel like you could do worse. 1% owned.
Well, I'm sure like
it's an AL only.
There are guys that are over 10% owned that I'd rather have Reimold over.
Right.
So
throwing something out there for the deep leaguers, that's all. Rougned Odor appears to be leading off a lot. Michael Conforto is staying in that number three spot, even against the lefty. I don't know if that'll continue because he had a bad game yesterday. It was Bumgarner.
I'm so mad at myself about Michael Conforto.
Is this a legit breakout? Is Michael Conforto having a huge year?
It looks like it. And I had him right around 33rd, 34th in outfielders in the preseason. And then I got scared that first week of the season or first 2 weeks of the season and got afraid that he wasn't going to play against lefties and dropped him down. And now I have to move him back up to where I had him.
I don't know. Look, I don't know if that's true because I know he started against the lefty yesterday, but I think he went over four.
Okay.
And they sat Granderson yesterday. I think Granderson's less likely to sit than Conforto.
I think in the long run, neither of them are going to sit. I mean, Michael Conforto is, the Mets can't stop raving about him. Like Keith Hernandez, and I know he just, you know, commentates Mets games. He doesn't have control over personnel or anything, but I read over the weekend that Michael Conforto's family's taken to calling him Uncle Keith when they watch the games because he's just so in love with him and his ability to hit. To control the whole field, and he doesn't strike out a lot for as much power as he has. I think this is totally legit, and I don't think you need to worry about playing time.
The one thing that's not legit is I don't think he's probably going to hit over three. He's got a 342 average right now. He's probably going to be more of a 280, 290 guy if he has a good year.
Okay. Well, you could start Michael Conforto tonight in FanDuel. Even if he's not on your seasonal teams, you can start him anytime you want in FanDuel. That's the great part about FanDuel. Daily fantasy, one-day fantasy baseball, real excitement, real money, really easy, too. Just go to FanDuel, set a lineup, and hey, if you listen to our advice, if you listen to Heath Cummings on his Daily Fantasy Live podcast, you're going to win some money. You can join over a million users who have already won money on FanDuel.com. You don't have to deal with injuries. You don't have to deal with tough matchups. You can play as often as you want. Contests start at just $1, so there's really no commitment, no financial commitment, no seasonal commitment or anything like that. You are going to love playing on FanDuel. If you're a new user, how about this awesome offer? Get basically a free play. You enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, sign up with our promo code, it's HOMERUN. That's one word. The promo code with no spaces is HOMERUN, and you get your entry fee refunded if you're a new user up to $10 if you don't get a cash prize. So that's an amazing opportunity to start playing FanDuel right now. Wow, we got a lot of pitchers to talk about. Should we talk about the studs, or should we talk about the free agents, the ones that are available? I'll let you guys
decide.
Let's
talk about the free agents.
Okay. To the fringy starting pitchers, I'll run through a few more news items, though. Taylor okay. Youngman to the minors. Jung Ho Kang, when he comes back, he's probably going to play 2 out of every 3 games. That likely won't last too long, but you can expect that at the beginning. Matt Shoemaker to the minors. The Angels might not need a 5th starter for another 2 weeks. Henderson Alvarez could be back soon. Does that make you worried if you're a Manaea owner?
A little bit.
Okay. Carlos Gomez could end up on the DL with ribs, injured ribs. And Danny Valencia expected back Friday. So here are your fringy starting pitchers, part one, for the shallower leagues out there. These players are owned in between 65 and 79% of leagues. Hector Santiago had a bad start Friday. Jared Eichhoff. Jay Happ. Wei-Yin Chen. Drew Pomeranz. Very good one against the Dodgers. Rebounded from a tough one at the Giants earlier in the week. Nate Eovaldi. Way to go. Shelby Miller. And Juan Nicasio. 69% owned. That surprises me.
The least owned of these players needs to be the most owned.
He's your favorite?
I mean, I guess he's probably been the biggest Juan Nicasio skeptic.
Yeah, I played him on FanDuel on Friday, so I'm pretty happy with him now.
Yeah.
I like him again now.
You like him again? there's just so much upside with that velocity and having Ray Sears looking over his shoulder that it hasn't been entirely painless, but
I still think he's going to, I think he's going to have great weeks and he's going to have awful weeks. Probably not going to be the model of consistency that you would like to have. I'm not probably going to start him against bad matchups.
I don't even know that his bad starts have been that awful. He's walked a few too many players, but I don't even know that the downside is as low as you're suggesting. I mean, his ERA is 3.33 overall.
Right.
As for these others, Jared Eichhoff is the only one that stands out to me as being like on a completely different level. I can't imagine dropping him. The supporting cast isn't that great, I guess, but the strikeout potential is just too high for me to even think about. And the whip potential too good, too.
We don't talk about this too much, but the Phillies are, what, are they 15-10? Are they good enough to at least give those pitchers more of a chance? Yeah, they are 15-10.
They're 15-10 because of their pitchers, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
They don't score. Like, I mean, they've scored 82 runs and given up 98. So they have a negative run differential of 16, which is pretty bad. And they're 15-10.
The one thing I will say about them, because I've been, I don't think it's completely fluky that they're 15-10. I don't think there's any way they're competitive in that division. But it's also a division where you've got the Braves that are going to lose 100 games, and you've got the Marlins that, after losing D. Gordon, could go off the rails at any moment. I thought at the beginning of the year maybe the Marlins could be the 500 team in that division. If they're not, then it might be the Phillies.
Yeah, no, we all like Aaron Nola. We all like Vince Velasquez. I like Jared Eichhoff.
I like Eichhoff.
Okay, we all like Jared Eichhoff. So that's a better 1-2-3 than, I mean, I know the Marlins have Jose Fernandez, and that's the best of all, but that's a better 1-2-3, I think, than the Marlins have.
You got Odubel Herrera getting on base 45% of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, next group of fringy starting pitchers, 50 to 64% owned. Who are you rushing to add if you see them on the waiver wire? Kevin Gausman, Sean Manaea, Adam Conley, Phil Hughes, Mike Fiers. Kevin Gausman, Sean Manaea, Adam Conley, Phil Hughes, Mike Fiers.
Well, the moment those words escape my mouth, the Phillies have a better 1-2-3 than the Marlins, I thought, oh wait, Adam Conley. Who was removed in the 8th inning of a no-hitter on Friday.
And it was the right move.
It was the right move, sure.
Yeah.
How the heck is he only 57% owned?
Yeah.
I mean, every time we talked about him, I've compared him to Chris Sale. He's had a couple big strikeout games and now a near no-hitter. And I think Ross Stripling was owned more than that after his near no-hitter. And
yeah.
That's just Ross Stripling, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think what probably happened was he was probably more than 57% owned for his first two starts. And then he had two bad starts in a row.
Bad is an overstatement.
Okay. He gave up 8 runs in 12 innings in his last two starts.
Okay.
And one of those games, he struck out 8. That was fine.
Yeah,
he just had some bad luck.
Exactly.
The other one, he walked 4 and struck out 2.
Okay. That one was legitimately a bad start. The other, I'll give him a pass for.
Okay. And so before this 7 2/3 no hit innings, he had a 5.12 ERA.
But why hasn't, even if they did overreact to those two bumpy starts, why hasn't it gone up? Why hasn't it corrected itself? This was Friday when this happened.
Yeah. I don't know.
People are sleeping on Adam Conley.
I don't know if you guys are like me, but I have this fatigue right now of picking up starting pitchers, especially the unproven ones. I've done a lot of ad drops, and I'm just kind of tired of it. Like, I want these guys to do badly so I don't have to rush and pick them up. I'm just so sick.
Well, we just made room for you with Shelby Miller and Michael Pineda.
I would not drop Pineda for Conley.
Wouldn't?
I would drop Miller. Maybe I should. I'll let you guys decide that, because the Yankee and me maybe is influencing. I'm not sure
I would drop Pineda for Conley. And I believe there is some upside there for Conley, but I don't think he's like risk free. He's had two really good starts.
Okay.
And he's had one, we'll call his 6 2/3 with 4 runs average. He had the one inning against Washington where he got bombed, and he had the bad start against the Giants.
I suppose if we're talking about waiver wire fatigue, like you just don't want to play the waiver wire, then okay, I guess you have to be comfortable with the idea of Conley going to somebody else. But I think I see roster spots as protection spots. Like, I am protecting this player from falling into the wrong hands. And right
like
now, I think Conley is more worthy of that than Pineda.
All right. Listen,
go ahead.
Just to sum it up, as much as I am tired of ad drops right now, I did check to see if Conley was available in any league, and I would have picked him up, and he's not, any league that I'm in, or else he'd be on my team. So I get it. He is under owned. Next group of fringy starting pitchers, 30 to 49% owned. Derek Holland, who has a 2.48 ERA, not a lot of strikeouts, but pitching well. Chris Medlin, Ross Stripling, Robbie Ray, Alex Wood, big start for him against the Padres. Mm-hmm. Doug Fister and Michael Fulmer. Anybody on that list jump out at you? I got to own this guy.
No.
Okay, well, for me, I was excited about picking up Alex Wood again. And I know
Padres,
it was the Padres.
It was the Padres.
If I was just looking at the box score, it would have been easy to dismiss. But it coincided with a mechanical adjustment he made. He noticed he was lifting his leg too much. And so he lowered it with the help of his pitching coach. And that there's a chance, knowing what Alex Wood used to be, that something that little could get him back to that. So, knowing how good that pitcher was, that was a pitcher Al and I were both ranking in the top 20.
Hey,
the position at the start of last year. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Spaceballs?
I have.
You remember when they're having the Schwartz fight and he goes, "Fooled you."
Yeah.
That's kind of, I feel like Alex Wood might do that to you.
No, he might. He might, but if he doesn't, if his next start is this good, then I don't want to be beaten to him.
Fair point.
He just moved up on the protection list for me.
Let's put him on the Pineda list. Would you drop Pineda
for Wood? Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
Shelby Miller?
He's a little below that threshold. Shelby Miller, sure, because I am nearly positive nobody's going to pick up Shelby Miller in a league where I could even consider dropping him. Pineda's not as confident.
And then in deep leagues, owned in less than 30% of leagues, any interest in these guys? Aaron Blair, Wade Miley, complete game shutout against the Royals, Henry Owens, Jesse Hahn, Tyler Chatwood, Tyler Duffy, Chris Devensky, Dan Straley, Cesar Vargas, Adam Morgan.
Yes to Duffy, for sure. Other than that, I'm not particularly excited.
Let's put it like you have to. You're in a league where these are some of the best players available.
But Duffy's not there? Because if these are the best players available, I definitely want Duffy.
Yeah, Duffy stands out.
Yeah, Jesse Hahn's kind of interesting too. I don't think he has the strikeout potential of Duffy, but he's for the little bit he's pitched in the majors, he's generally been difficult to hit. Tyler Chatwood, I just can't imagine he's going to be relevant pitching half his games at Coors Field, but this is now back-to-back road starts where he hasn't given up an earned run, so I think he at least is worth watching. So those would probably be the highest. Just last, if I could jump back to last list for a second,
sure.
Doug Fister's only 31% owned, and he had his last three starts have been quality starts. His velocity has been steadily going up this season.
Is he up to 86?
He's up to 88.
Wow.
Average on his sinker in this last one. So that's basically peak Fister. So something to keep an eye on as well. I'm not rushing to pick him up, but especially if relief pitcher eligibility is a big deal for you, need to keep an eye on that.
To the bullpen. Is there anybody in the Indians bullpen that you think might actually replace Cody Allen if his struggles continue?
I was kind of thinking at the beginning of the year, hey, maybe Trevor Bauer will turn into a good closer, but he's or a good reliever, but he's gone back to being a bad starter.
He wasn't so good in relief either.
I don't really like, that's the thing. Cody Allen's been bad enough to where we should be concerned about his job, but I don't know that there's anybody there that they feel like could take the job from him. So I'm not that concerned. I'm more concerned about whether I want to keep starting him.
Yeah. Well, he had a couple stints like this last year too, and I think it was the same situation. There was nobody knocking at the door. And ultimately he turned things around. He had the best FIP of any reliever last year. So I think that's going to be how it plays out again.
Okay. There is Jeff Manship. He's pitching well. Zach McAllister is walking guys, but pitching well.
Brian Shaw would be my first choice.
He's been terrible. Cody Allen. But yes, he would be the logical, I guess, successor. But all right, Brad Ziegler blew a save. Tony Cingrani and Caleb Cotham struggled this weekend. Hector Rondon had a bad outing. Aroldis Vizcaíno, you don't get many save chances, Aroldis Vizcaíno. You can't go blowing them. Any other things really stand out in the bullpens? Okay. Me either.
Well, did we? Well, I guess not.
It feels,
I feel like there is, but it's not coming to me.
Well, what it feels like is that this is, and maybe it's not, but it feels like there's less stability at closer this first month of the season than I can remember in past years.
I disagree.
I think it's been a lot of stability, more than I expected.
Yeah.
So many. I just, like, who's been really good?
Who's been really good beyond the elite?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you consider David Robertson up there.
AJ Ramos has, I think he had like four saves this week. Sean Tolleson has like eight or nine saves.
He was awful at the beginning of the year.
Sure, but he
had one bad
job, and now he seems solidified in it. Think through the changes that have happened in bullpen so far. There's been very few. Minnesota, which was injury related,
right?
Oakland, which okay, that was legit. Madsen just overtook Doolittle.
Philadelphia, Cincinnati.
Yeah, but they weren't so secure in the first place. Cincinnati,
Angels.
Was a very low-end guy.
Angels
injury-related. Is there anyone else? Are we missing anybody?
No, the Yankees are about to.
But that was totally
that was
according
expected.
To plan.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think five changes.
In a month?
Two of them injury, and the other three very low-end guys to begin with. I think that's... There's been Aprils where there have been like 15 closer changes.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
Okay. I don't remember those.
There hasn't been like the season ending injury either. We've been sort of fortunate so far, but somebody emailed us and asked us if he should drop Andrew Miller. He has a role as Chapman. What would you guys do? Would you like to see it play out for a week or so?
I'd like to see it. Yeah. I'd like to see like two or three save opportunities where Chapman gets all of them before I drop him.
Okay. Heath in DFS. I'm starting Keuchel tonight.
Yeah.
Cueto or Keuchel, who's better?
I think probably I would lean more towards Cueto. Keuchel, the Twins are a good matchup, but they aren't near as good a matchup against left-handed pitching as they are against righties.
Okay.
Almost all of the Twins' good hitters are right-handed hitters. The one thing I noticed when I looked at this slate was I think there's a lot of opportunities to play cheap pitchers. And I don't, they're not all going to be good, but I think one of them will be, maybe even two. And by cheap pitchers, I mean, at 6,200, you've got Jose Berrios. At 5,900, you've got Finnegan. At 5,500, you've got John Gray. I think there's a pretty good chance that one of those guys is going to earn you 40 FanDuel points for $5,000 less, $4,000 less than Keuchel and Cueto.
I like Curtis Granderson at 3,600 against Foltynewicz. I like Domingo Santana at 2,600 if you need to save money against Jared Weaver. I think the Brewers might destroy Jared Weaver.
You know, that's an interesting pitching matchup because I could see it's Weaver against Nelson.
Yeah.
And I could see either one of those guys having an unpredictably good game or just getting bombed. I really like Joey Bats and E5 against AJ Griffin at home. Encarnacion's down to 3,400, so that's a good matchup. I would like to play Conforto, but the problem with Conforto is he's 4,300 now.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't play him.
He's the same price as Bautista, and Ryan Braun is going up against Weaver. So I just don't think you can play Conforto when those two guys both have excellent matchups in better parks.
Be careful not to put Danny Santana in your lineup instead of Domingo Santana. I did that. And if you need to save money and you want to take a risk, Russell Martin is $2,300 facing a fly ball pitcher at home. I mean, he's been so bad, but
so bad.
You guys, yeah, I don't hate that play at all. I'd be probably more likely to play Buster Posey for just 3,400 against a left-handed pitcher because Posey kills lefties.
All right, let's read some.
Can I just throw in one more note on one player that we didn't get to touch on?
Yeah, sure.
Victor Martinez. Now I am going to read you his numbers from 2014 when he was second in AL MVP voting, and we were drafting him in the second round the following year. 335 batting average, 32 home runs, 103 RBI, 974 OPS. Really, really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what Victor Martinez is on pace for this year. 350 batting average, 34 home runs, 122 RBI, 1072 OPS. Oh, and only 61 strikeouts. That is another guy who I'm motivated to send Prince Fielder for now. And I can't imagine sitting him again. It was kind of hard to start him early on because I think the first 2 weeks, the Tigers had a series in the NL, but he is just getting better and better as the season goes on. And the lefty, the splits from the left side of the plate look awesome again. So there couldn't be a clearer cut case if this guy's knee was messed up last year and now he's awesome again.
Mm-hmm. All right, now emails. Eric in Yakima, trying hard to be patient with Carlos Gomez. Should I drop Gomez? Although I guess now you could just DL him most likely, for Jackie Bradley, Kevin Kiermaier, Michael Saunders, or Kevin Pillar.
I would not drop him for any of those guys. I understand being scared. I'm scared too, but I can't drop him for any of those guys.
Here is Brandon in a town along the Columbia River. Anybody know towns along the Columbia River?
He doesn't want us to find him.
I'm going to say Columbia.
Okay.
He says, Dear Al, Bud, and Jefferson.
All right.
Easy. Who?
I have no idea.
It's married with children.
What's that?
Married with children. Yeah.
Oh, right. Married with children. Okay.
Great.
I didn't watch Married with Children.
Great. What? What'd you say?
I didn't watch Married with Children.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Gray the Trade, head-to-head categories league. Give up Matt Harvey, Troy Tulowitzki, Nomar Mazara. Give up Harvey, Tulo, and Mazara. Four. Nelson Cruz, Corey Seager, and Kenta Maeda.
Yeah, I do that quickly. I would give that a minus.
You would rather have Cruz, Maeda, and Seager than Harvey, Tulo, and Mazara?
Uh-huh. I think Cruz is considerably better than Mazara. I'm ready to move Seager ahead of Tulo.
I guess that's pretty close, but Harvey still throttles Maeda in my mind.
If he's right,
that's the biggest disparity between any of the two equivalent players. So I'm this is one of those where I'm definitely sticking with the best player in the deal. Give that a D plus.
Wow, that's the most we've ever, I think, disagreed in grades on a. We may need a tiebreaker, Adam.
This is a trade we could have made ourselves.
I think.
Which,
I would,
by the way,
I like Maeda enough where I would go with the Maeda side.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I will point out, though, that the Harvey side is giving up Mazzara, and I think he's a little overrated right now. It's easy to say, having just traded him in that Goldschmidt deal, I know. But I think a lot of potential. I think as much contact as he's making is exciting, but I think it's kind of like Michael Conforto last year, where we're a little caught up in potential and overlooking what he's actually doing for you right now, which is not that much. He has 4 extra base hits on the year. His ISO is not good. Could change. Still early, but I don't feel like I'm going to miss him too much in a 3 outfielder league.
Yeah, I also think he could lose playing time when Chu gets back. It's not like he's certain to stay in the lineup. Okay, email from Philip. Why are you all hating on Steve Cishek in your rankings?
That's probably a good point. I probably need to move him up a little bit, because I thought coming into the year that he was one of the more likely closers to lose his job early in the year. And he hasn't done that yet.
And he's been good. I mean, he's missing more bats. I did move him up some, but there's been so little turnover that there's only so high I could go. I mean, I'd still take Gregerson over him. I'd still take Tolleson over him with the way he's turned things around. So that's still outside my top 20.
Here's one from Cub fan Dan from the south side of Chicago. Hey, Slaughter, Adnan, and Mustafa.
I assume that's...
Those are wrestlers, Heath.
What's that?
Wrestlers.
Okay. Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah. Odubel Herrera, would you start him this week? Would pick up Odubel Herrera and start him over Randall Grichuk or Gerardo Parra, who Cub fan Dan called Geraldo Parra, which is funny. This is a head-to-head categories league.
Head-to-head categories, unless one of those categories was OBP, no. And even if it was OBP, I don't think I'd start him over Parra.
See, that's the one I was thinking I might. Parra's going to be in San Diego and in San Francisco this week.
Yeah, on the road, but
you'd have to drop him.
It would depend a lot on matchups.
You'd have to drop him, though, in this case, because he's asking to pick up Herrera, so I don't think you do that.
I wouldn't drop him either.
Yeah, Parra's been fine. All right, I'm going to leave it with this one here from Chris in Portland, Oregon. It says, Dear Danny, Justin, and Shelley. Danny, Justin, and Shelley. I'm not sure.
Norma.
Undateable, which is a TV series that I've never heard of. Undateable.
Where they had the gimmick where they were shooting the episodes live.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I think it's going away.
I was watching
Royals game. Sorry, Chris. Hope it's not your favorite show.
I was watching a Royals game the other day. I noticed Chinming Wong was still pitching, which surprised me. I thought I remembered him having a couple of good years for the Yankees, so I went to Baseball Reference to investigate. 2006, 218 innings, 19-6, 363 ERA, a 130 whip, and 76 strikeouts in 218 innings for a 19-game winner. 3.1 Ks per nine. Just thought you guys might get a kick out of that. Can you ever remember a pitcher that was that successful who struck out less batters? When there's a pitcher who's usable in fantasy because of wins, ERA, and whip, like Marcus Stroman, but doesn't strike out many batters, I think we can reasonably say, quote, at least there aren't Chinming Wong, end quote.
Yeah, I remember those Chinming Wong days well, and I was not a fan.
That's who Aaron Blair is aspiring to be right now.
Well, I was just a guy who had a great sinker.
It was a very good sinker. By the way, Marcus Stroman did strike out 9 in his last start, and I am thinking
now,
we might see more of that.
Easy there. That was the Rays, and they have some of the most strikeouts in baseball.
They have the highest strikeout rate against right-handed pitching, for sure.
I believe Stroman has a lot of strikeout potential, looking at his minor league track record. And the reason that he isn't striking out batters is because he has been pushed into getting outs early in the count because he's so small, and they think that's the best way he's going to hold up over a full season.
Well,
so
I hope you're right.
I think his inconsistencies early this season. This is totally just me speculating,
right,
of course, but I think his inconsistencies earlier this season are going to motivate him to break out the bat missing arsenal.
But it could be another fooled you.
I'm not trading for Stroman or anything. I'm just saying
that might have to be a new segment on the show, by the way. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're done for the day. Long podcast today. Thank you guys for all your extra time. I do appreciate it. I'm Adam Azer for Heath Cummings and Scott White. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.
See ya.